Hello, this is Mike Swanson, AustralWinner.com. I'm speaking with Ike Isaac, who runs the website MarketViews.tv. How are you doing today, Ike?
I'm doing well, Mike. Thank you. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing good. And it's great to talk with you. This has been an interesting week in the markets and in the news world, but the news is another thing and doesn't necessarily have anything to do with what the trend in the market is going to be in the coming week. So that's what's important to us and our listeners, and I was glad to be able to set up this interview and get these charts and your analysis.
Well, Mike, I believe the next 1 to 3 weeks will tell us quite a bit for the next 3 to 6 months. If you recall, and the people who listen to us, I hope they recall, it was back on 11th of March of 2016 when I gave a potential target for the S&P in the 2350 area, plus or minus a couple percent. This target is derived both from chart analysis and regression analysis. At the time, the S&P was 2022. We reiterated the target in our interviews on October 14th of 2016, on January 27th, 2017, and again in our last interview on February 10th of 2017. In our last interview on February 10th, the S&P was at 2307. And I gave a short-term target for a top between 2 to 4% higher. That would have been between 2353 and 2399. In fact, the S&P tapped out, at least temporarily, on March 1st at 2401. In addition, on January 27th and again on February 10th, I had pointed out that from a chart point of view, the market was calling. And usually, the initial break out of the calling area results in a pullback into the area. Since February 10th, the S&P has broken out of the calling area and it tapped out at 24.1. It has retreated since then. So the question is, where do we go from here? Now, if you look at the first chart, we have an ascending triangle, which is bullish, intermediate term. Short term, it can be interpreted also as bearish. Why? Because we have three tops. If we get a break out of this triangle, then the potential target is at 2470. If you measure the move from the November low, 0.1 to 0.2, and then you measure the move, the magnitude of the move, from 0.3 to 0.4, then you get a mathematical ratio, which if you apply it to the bottom at 2325, assuming it holds, then that's how you get the 2470 target area. We're very close to a break, and that break should happen within the next 1 to 3 weeks. If we break out, as I said, the target is about 2470. If we break down, then the expectation would be to get back into the trading area in before the market broke out. That would be between 2300 and 2250.
So the price has implications for what could play out in the second half of the year.
Exactly. That is why I'm saying the next 1 to 3 weeks, you really need to pay attention to how things turn out. If you look at the inflows, outflows, which is a proprietary indicator, and I have talked about this in the past few years, we usually show it twice a year. So what we see is that we have a huge divergence. We see lower highs in terms of inflows, despite higher highs in terms of price. Usually that results in a bounce decline. Usually you get some sort of a correction out of it that can be anywhere between 5 to 15%. At this very moment, also we can see that inflows are below the green line. Outflows are above the green line, okay? That is supportive of some continuation of lower prices. If you look at it on a 50-day basis, again you have a divergence, but we have not seen a negative crossover. We can see that the outflows got up to the 50% level, the inflows got up to down to the 50% level, and then they reversed. That again gives you a mixed picture. But the bigger picture, given the divergence of diminishing inflows into the market, it does not support the idea that this market is going to 2,700. It confirms the target I gave earlier of about 2,470. The other point that I want to make, it comes from a research done by Dr. Hausman, and it has to do with valuations. I want to make very clear that valuation is not a good timing tool. I want to point out that in 1999, NASDAQ already had sky-high valuations. That did not prevent it from going much higher. NASDAQ at 4,500 was at a crazy valuation level. It did not prevent it from going up to 5,000. Just looking at this and saying, oh my God, well, valuations are sky high, it does not mean the market cannot go higher. So do not take this as a timing tool, but take it as a picture of risk. I welcome people to read an entire article by Dr. Hausman. What we have at this point is that in terms of valuations, the market overall is about 2-3 percentage points lower from where it was in 2000. The next chart, which is even more telling, is something very interesting. Back in 2000, the market peak was dominated by overvaluation among largely very large capitalization stocks, and most of them tech stocks. But the broader market was much lower, okay, especially small caps. And that is also one reason why the AD line bottomed very close to when the market was topping. That did not prevent the S&P from losing half of its value, or the NASDAQ from losing about 80% of its value. What we see now, which is by far the most extreme median valuation in history, is that the median valuation of the S&P 500 components across the board, on all 500 of them, it is now well above levels observed in 2000 and also in 2007. I mean, the chart says it all. And that is a picture of market risk. Does that mean the market is going down now? No. Does that mean the market cannot go higher? No. All I'm saying is, for people projecting 2,700, 3,000 in the S&P, would listen to these arguments with a lot of skepticism, to put it mildly. All in all, what I'm saying is that since March 1st, the S&P has been either topping or consolidating bullishly. If it is consolidating bullishly, a breakout of the consolidation area would target 2470. If it is topping, a breakdown would lead to a decline in the 2300, 2250 support area, sometime by late May. Also, given the overall technical picture at the moment, a decline in the next few weeks will probably be followed by another leg up into August or perhaps October of 2017. Nevertheless, what the market does the next 1 to 3 weeks will tell us quite a bit with regard to what we can expect for the following 4 to 6 months. So that's my take on equities.
Well, it's going to be real interesting to see what happens. And, you know, frankly, the action is, you know, day by day, it's not seemingly doing anything, and it's easy to fall asleep. But even the news is on CNBC and Fox, they talk less about the stock market now and more about politics or, you know, general news. Not because of that. So that could all be changing now. And it's better to be ready for it, that's for certain. Well, what do you think about gold? Because we've seen, you know, we saw a decline last December below 1,200, below 1,150.
Let's go back to what we have been saying for the last 1.5 years. Since mid-December of 2015, as you know, my position has been that if gold was going to enter a new cyclical bull market, then we should see the first up move to take place in early 2016. It would last until mid-year. After that, we would get a retracement, a pullback, which will be concluded between late April and early June of 2017. And at that point, we will get a multi-month uplift. Also, gold would hold above its previous lows. If you look at the action that we have had in gold, it has pretty much followed the scenario. But the interesting thing right now is that I have four markets that are usually interrelated acting the same way, that does not last very long. We have four charts. The first one is the chart for gold. Right next to it, the chart for the US dollar. Then we have US bonds, and right next, oil. The first arrow shows how gold bottomed exactly at the same time when the US dollar topped. Yeah. At the same time when bonds bottomed, and at the same time when oil topped. Since then, which is mid-March, we had a very minor rally in gold, a minor rally in the dollar, a minor rally in bonds, and a big rally in oil. And also, let's take a look at the chart formations, okay? We can see that short-term, we have an upwards moving channel for gold. We have a triangle, an ascending triangle for the US dollar. We have a lateral consolidation movement for the bond market, and an upward channel also for oil. When you look at all of them, they're also very near resistance. So something has to give. The next chart that we have, which is gold on a longer term basis, going back to the top in 2012, we can see the long-term top line coming down to about 1300. We can see the upward moving channel having an upper limit also at 1300. When you put all this together, I can see gold making a quick, fast run up to 1300. But more than likely, we will get another pullback. And why am I saying this? I'm saying this looking at the inflows, outflows analysis again. On a 25-day basis, you can see that the inflows are way below the 50% equilibrium base. If you look at the 50-day basis, the inflows have not even turned up again. So unless we have something really dramatic taking place over the next few days or 2 or 3 weeks, I would imagine the most likely scenario is that we get another pullback in gold. That will set, in my view, the basis for a more prolonged, sustainable, multi-month rally in gold and gold stock. Nevertheless, just like with equities, the same thing holds true for gold. The next 1 to 3 weeks will tell us what we can expect for gold for the next 4 to 6 months. So, there you have it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out and everything in the stock market too. So I feel like not that it's been going on the past couple of weeks, but the next couple of weeks will be really interesting and telling. And of course, you keeping people up to date with with your premium, your private updates. Thanks for talking to me and everyone else, and keep up to date on what's going on.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.